Today's parasha is entitled Vehi, meaning, and he lived, and covers the last three chapters of Genesis 47, verses 28 through 50:26. This parasha concludes the book of Genesis and the lives of both Jacob and Joseph. Jacob, now known as Israel, is nearing his death. He has lived 147 years. When Israel was nearing his death, he called for Joseph. After Joseph arrived, Jacob made him promise to take his body up out of the land after he had passed away. He made Joseph to place his hands under his thigh and swear by oath to bury him with his fathers in Canaan. Joseph, knowing his father's time is short, brings his two sons to him. Jacob then takes Ephraim and Manasseh as his own, and any other sons Joseph has are to be accounted as his under the land inheritance of both Ephraim and Manasseh. When Jacob blesses Ephraim and Manasseh, he switches which son is going to receive the blessing by swapping his hands. Therefore, the firstborn blessing then is given to Ephraim instead of Manasseh, the firstborn. This is interesting, as Jacob himself received by deception the firstborn blessing that God himself had already proclaimed for him to receive, causing many years of hardship for himself and for a strained relationship with his brother. In this blessing, though, we see that Joseph's son's blessing, the Lord's will, is being done in a proper way. A short time later, Jacob calls for Joseph and all his brothers to come together so that he may bless them and tell them what is to happen in the days to come. These blessings include interesting things to note. Reuben, Simeon, and Levi are all passed over for headship due to their various sins, and the blessing of the firstborn is given to Judah. Until this point, though, Judah has only acted as a leader, but there was no indication who would receive this blessing of headship. Judah's blessing is notable at that his brother, he is singled out, and he is told that his brothers will praise him, and that the scepter will not depart from him, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, before or after Shiloh comes. Who is this ruler that this passage is referring to, one might ask? He is none other than Yeshua HaMashiach, the one prophesied to be the offspring of Eve, who would crush the head of the snake, then later prophesied to come from Noah's son, Shem, and to further single him out, he would be a descendant born of Abraham. In this passage, or in this genealogy, narrows, and we are told that he will come from the line of Judah. Later in Scripture, we can see clearly he will be born to the children of King David, a descendant of Judah. Genesis 50 records the death of Jacob, and after Israel died, Joseph threw himself upon his father, weeping and kissing on him. Joseph called for the physicians in his service and instructed them to embalm his father, taking a full 40 days as it did, according to Egyptian customs. The Egyptians mourned Jacob's death an entire 70 days. Joseph then received permission to take the body of Jacob, his father, and to take it back to Canaan to bury him. Joseph then takes his entire household, and they accompany him, leaving only the children. Pharaoh sends along with him his entire company of dignitaries and officials, along with chariots and horsemen. When they reached Atad, near the Jordan, they lamented loudly and bitterly there for 7 days. The Canaanites, seeing this, named this area Abel Mizraim, meaning the mourning of the Egyptians. In this passage, we can see that Jacob is clearly loved, not just by his family, but by also all of Egypt as well. Now that their father has died, Joseph's brothers feel it is necessary to concoct another scheme. This is because they are afraid that their father's death will cause Joseph to find it necessary to bring punishment to his brothers. Forgetting how well their first scheme worked for them, they send word to Joseph that their father has left some final instructions, requesting their sins be forgiven. This caused Joseph such sorrow, he wept. His brothers then came to him, and they threw themselves down at his feet, saying, "We are your slaves." Joseph tells his brothers, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God?" He tells them again that what they had intended for harm, God had intended for good. And that through this, God saved many lives. He then tells his brothers he will provide for them and their families. In total, Joseph lived 110 years. And as he approached his death, he spoke to his brothers. His final words are recorded in Genesis 50, verses 24 and 25, and they conclude the book of Genesis. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land, to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And Joseph made them swear an oath and said, "God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place." What Joseph and his brothers were unable to see and know is that while God had used his brothers' actions to see to his family's welfare, in the end, God also intended to use Joseph's life and the story as a type of prequel of events to come. And as a show us, the Messiah. Joseph was able to assist Pharaoh in preparing for the famine and save probably much of northeastern Africa and much of the Middle East from famine and death. But God also was using Joseph's life to show us his redeeming power and that he would redeem us with a far greater salvation through Messiah, Yeshua. If we look back at Genesis into the blessings, we can see that Messiah will come from the line of Judah. We can see some prophecy of some events that will happen during his time here and some events of his time when he comes back to bring all things to completion. His brothers could only see events looking from today and going back. They couldn't see the future. His brothers could only see events looking backwards. But God was working with future in mind. And Joseph knew that the Lord would bless them all. As we close the book of Genesis and look back, I thought about what is the main takeaway from this book. And perhaps it is a story of creation or of a fallen humanity that God continually saves us. But the book of Genesis contains many stories. And I feel that the main takeaway is that this book is a book, a story of salvation. It is the part of God's way of continually showing us his plan, revealing a little at a time, that he will not let all of humanity be cast into destruction, but instead be redeemed by the gift of his son through Yeshua HaMashiach's death, burial, and resurrection. I wonder, when we receive a blessing in our lives, do we see things from a bigger perspective and think about the potential implications in our future or others in these blessings like Joseph did? I know it makes me begin to analyze things God has done for me and know that these blessings mold me, direct me, and affect others through my life. I wonder, were the brothers of Joseph able to see any of this, or were they perplexed by the meaning of some of their blessings and their cursings? I also know that many times God's blessings have already passed before I recognize it. But I'm all too quick to recognize when I feel like I'm being punished or not receiving God's favor. We as believers need to be more consistently aware of God's movement in our lives. We need to be close to God like Joseph, praying and ready to thank God for everything that comes our way. If we do this, when we receive a blessing, we will hopefully recognize it and truly thank God for it. I know I'm thankful for God's wonderful gifts of salvation, food, family, a wonderful congregation, and a way to provide for my home. Thank you.